Welcome everyone to Christ's Blessing on this 12th day of August 2018. We are joined in the spirit of love and faith and hope and goodwill to one another. And you might be surprised how important it is that we have this community. Yeshua offers his blessings to each of us every day. But we don't know how to tune in. That's our biggest problem. We're like a TV unit. I don't know what to call them anymore. I guess just a television unit without a subscription. So we don't have a connection to the satellite signal. And in a world that is so busy and so filled with all kinds of signals, from good to bad, and some of them just virtually worthless, even the ones that pretend to be good may have little value, it's really hard to know how to tune in. This is why it's so important every week to have a place to come where other people are on the same wavelength, have the same interest level, and are devoted to being there, not just for themselves and their family, but for everyone else in this community. For me, it's such a privilege to create that kind of oasis where we come to drink from living water. And that's exactly what we do. So we have several people in our queue, and I just wanted to encourage as many of you as would like to press *6 and then let us know how you're doing or what you would like to ask for as a blessing. It's really important that we share, that we ask, and that we come together to offer to one another our separate but similar experiences. So I'm going to take a call from area code 541, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. So good to talk to you. There is a question that's been on my mind for a long time, I say the 23rd Psalm, I mean, all throughout the day for decades. And the part that I've wanted clarity on was, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I wrestled with trying to understand what that means.
Oh, all right. Well, it has to do with protection. In the days of herding sheep, it was a shepherd's job to be able to keep the flock together. When the flock was kept together, it was safer. And if one of the sheep wandered off, he would use the stick gently to nudge the little straggler back into the flock. But now, this may sound cruel, but the fact is, when one of the little rats, the little adolescents with a strong will just kept wanting to wander off and be in his own space and say, "Look, guys, I'll go do this myself." Well, it was the shepherd's job to actually break his leg and wrap it with a stick. Then he would be forced to stay with the flock. And so some of the time, the staff was used for breaking the leg. But it was all designed to keep the sheep in the flock. That's what it was all about. The crook was to pull by the neck. The crook in the staff was used to pull by the neck. The straight staff was used to It looks like we just lost some. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, that's good. It looks like we lost some people, and I'm not sure what just happened. I'm glad you're still here. We'll finish talking, and then I'll worry about what to do next. So did that answer your question?
Sort of, but not really, because, you know, I don't want to be a sheeple. I don't want to follow the flock of the people in this world, you know. I don't want to be a sheeple.
Okay, I understand. Nor do I. One of my great objections to the way the history of Christianity has unfolded and been managed is that it's been swayed way too much toward conformity. But we have to learn the difference between unity and conformity. And the fact is, a banana can only be peeled if you break it away from the stalk. And I've only gotten in trouble in my life when I've gone too far away from people that would protect me, or things that I understand, or strengths that I have, or grounds of being in which I can operate with some degree of mastery. If I walk down a blind alley at 2 a.m. in the morning, that's when I'm most likely to get mugged. And that's just simply a statistic of life. That's not the same as being a sheeple. Being guided for our protection is not only part of the spirit of the Christian community, but it's part of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that was greatly, greatly misinterpreted. And I think it was misinterpreted by some people who maybe thought a little like you, like, okay, it's okay to stray as long as God, you'll lead me back. The way it was mistranslated was, it's the part of the prayer that says, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Well, it implies that God would ever lead you into temptation in the first place, which is simply not true. And when we look back at the original Aramaic, it didn't say it that way. It said, shield me from temptation.
Said what?
Now, shield me from temptation.
Oh, okay.
Very big difference. Very, very big difference. And one of the things that I think we all have to learn toward the end of our adolescent years is that all the things we break away from and think are so important to break away from as an adolescent were really quite unnecessary, because once we understand freedom, we understand that it's a state of mind. It's a way of thinking about life. It's a way of being responsible for our own choices, our own decisions, and learning how to be responsible for ourselves as a unique human being and discovering our uniqueness. And I think that's about all I can add to that, because the rest is something you'll have to think about on your own and, you know, come to terms with. But the fact is, among humanity, among human beings, there is a unity. But also, you are unique, and both have to be honored. In your uniqueness, you find your greatest value. In unity, you find your greatest safety.
Yes.
Can you understand that?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what it's all about.
Thank you so much, Linda. Also,
you're welcome.
I want to ask for a blessing of self. I don't know if this is the appropriate time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was a great time. Okay. I am going to welcome back Tony.
Hi,
we missed you.
Yeah, thanks. I miss you guys too. Had a really wonderful experience. Went to the Grand Canyon, and it was just really lovely. I'd never been to the North Rim, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things that were connecting kind of with what you guys were just talking about with the eclipse that we just had, because the eclipse was trine to Neptune, which is a lot to do with unity and our connectedness and the one spirit. And one of the things that's coming up, another thing that happens in August, every August, the sun conjoins with the heart of the lion, the star Regulus. And that's where it was aligned last year during that eclipse. Well, the sun goes there annually, and so we're about to have that. And to me, that is a celestial event that resonates with the brotherhood of man, the energy of the lion. I really get the energy of the lion and the brotherhood when, it's like, especially the way I see it in your painting. So we have that energy with us this month. So I wanted to just, mention that, you know, a blessing for our brotherhood, our unity. And I also have my uncle, and unfortunately, my uncle Paul, my mom's brother. He is suffering really badly with a number of ailments. He's got a bad back injury that he's had for 30 years, and he's also got a very advanced case of Alzheimer's. So now he can't be cared for at home. He's now in a rehab center where he's getting cared for. Kind of dire. He really needs a blessing, so I want to send Uncle Paul a blessing. And Judy's writing something to me. What is it? Just say it.
I just want to add my friend Stephanie and her son Scott. He's having a hard time, and he's feeling very suicidal, and he's been in trouble with the law and alcoholism, and so she's having a tough time as a mom to letting him figure it out on his own. He's 26, but he's just kind of spiraling down right now, so let's keep them in our prayers. Thank you.
Okay. We will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Those were.
Oh, you bet. It's always a joy to be with you guys.
Oh, it's a joy to have you. And I hope you'll be in class later today.
Today I might not be, but I think I'll definitely be on the jam session on Thursday.
Okay, great. Susan, I see you're on the call.
Hi, Glenda. How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, I had an interesting week. I was on a cruise with two other women, and boy, what a challenge, because we shared a small cabin, three of us. So, yeah, I tell you, we worked it out very well, but the women, they're very sweet women, but they're about 11 years younger than I am, but they're, in many ways, they're very adolescent, you know, and I kept thinking, which was a blessing, one of them kind of like revealed to me things about her childhood, which it made it very easy for me to say, make allowances. If I didn't know what she revealed, I probably wouldn't, and I would be ranting in my head at least. But because I did know, I kept saying, you need to make allowances here. And I have to say I did. There was only one point. They drink a lot, for one thing, and I don't. And they were in the habit of, you know, picking on different people and making them the butt of the jokes. And, you know, it came to me. And one time I remember saying something that she had done. You know, I said, well, I'm going to give it back. And I heard her say, stop to me. So I did that. And it wasn't to attack her. It was to show her that, you know, how does it feel when you're the one? And I figured, well, that's not going to be enough. So the other day I said to her, listen, I want you to stop it. It's hurtful, and I don't want you to do it to me. That's it. And that was the end of, you know, what I had said. But I separated myself a lot, you know, and came together with them at times, too. So, you know, it was good because I'm traveling without David for the first time since, you know, in the 5 years that my husband passed. And it felt good to just go out there and say, trust, you can go out there. I couldn't get the excursion because I was, you know, waitlisted on it. And I said, well, I'm just going to go and see what happens. And I wound up with a tour, this is funny, that was very affordable from some ladies, you know, was going to have to pay double the price. And she was sitting there and she told me this, that. And I wound up with a very affordable tour with a wonderful man, and this was in Bermuda. So, you know, I paid my price, you know, whatever at the end, and I gave it to him, but I didn't tip him. And afterward, I realized that was a big mistake that I had made. And I said, well, maybe I'll have the good fortune, you know, to make the correction. And there was a festival at night, and he mentioned that he was going to be shuttling, you know, people, but I, you know, there was tons of walking. Well, you know, when you're traveling, there's always a lot. And I was exhausted, but I went over to some one bus, thought it was him, and it wasn't. So the next day, we did an excursion, and one of these gals that I was telling you about, she's very unconscious in that, you know, that it's all about her. I mean, all about her. And we wound up, you know, getting off someplace to, you know, so that she could, you know, near the dock, but, you know, a ways, you know, walk when we could have been closer to the ship because she wanted to do some shopping. But I went along with that, and the good news about going along with it is I walk outside of this little mini mall that's like some touristy shops near the ship, and who's sitting at a table but my guide from yesterday? And I, you know, I look different because I was in a bathing suit with this ridiculous floppy hat. He's on the phone, and I go, I stand in front of him, and I take out money, and I say to him, listen, tell whoever you're with, you know, hold on a minute. So I tell him the story. He laughs, and I give him the money that I felt that, you know, I wanted to give, and said to God, hey, thanks for that. Thanks. That was a real quick way to make a correction. And
that's great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is great.
You know, there's all kinds of things that I feel so divinely protected in so many ways, and it's wonderful. But it's really wonderful to come back to this and connect, like you said in the very beginning of this call, with people on a similar wavelength. Yeah.
Well, it really is more essential in this world than it ever has been, but it's always been essential because we have, well, one of the reasons it is essential is exactly because we're unique. We were created not just as a species, okay? You know, I have some wonderful cats, and they have their own little unique personality, but basically, cats are cats. I have had wonderful dogs in my life, and they're all unique in their own way, but still dogs are dogs. I cannot say that about people. Every person I have ever known is a child of God and is far above what I would call a member of a species. Okay? And because we're unique, we kind of have difficulty picking up our signal unless we get some background assistance. But when we do come together, we get a chance to be both unique and unified. And it helps us. It literally helps us function better as a unique person. And everybody, trust me, I have been spent my whole life as an artist. If there's anything I treasure, second only to love, it's my uniqueness, because without it, I don't have anything special or creative to come up with. And I don't want to just create what everybody else has done or what other people do or think the way other people think. When people read my books, they say, you know, I've never read anything quite like this. And the fact is, everything in all of my books has been said 1,000 times before, but not quite in that way. Not ever. And I think that we are defined by our uniqueness, but we gain strength through our unity. And we have to remember to cultivate both. So that was good, Susan. Good work and good realizations and good contributions. I'm going to take a call, a wireless caller, and from area code 641, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Elizabeth in Iowa.
Hi, Elizabeth.
I would like a blessing for Lucy, Frank, and Sally for good health to support them, because ill health is such a burden to be happy and fulfilled. And under that same heading, I want a blessing for myself, for my parents, my relatives, and especially my ancestors. Besides having environmental and childhood illnesses, I find that I believe my DNA has a tendency towards certain illnesses, certain emotional illnesses, physical ones. And I want the ancestors to know they get blessed so I can be cleared of all that old karma that really is in my DNA. And just my emotional being. I want to be free, and I want to be lively, and I want to be smiling and happy and help others. Thank you.
That is a beautiful request. And my response to that is, as you live a life that is more blessed, you will bless your ancestors. It works both ways. As we ask blessings directly for them, it helps to clear our lives. As we clear our lives, it flows back to assist and clear their life. It works both ways. And so, yes. And in fact, we are told in the Bible that we are connected directly 5 generations deep for both the strengths and the karma of our ancestors. We inherit 5 generations deep. So it's a very, very powerful request, and it's my pleasure to include them in this blessing. So I'm going to take and they're on my list. I'm going to take a call from area code 470. You're on.
Glenda, hi. This is Gary in Stone Mountain. How are you?
Hi, Gary. So nice to talk to you.
So nice to talk to you. I've had a blessing. Sometimes it's nice not to ask for a blessing, but just to get one. And I think a lot of it has to do with our association, with the wonderful work that you've been doing. My son and I haven't spoken for a year, and he was very, very hostile when he left me. And I reached out to him, and he reached back to me, and we're talking now. And it is a joy. And I wanted to share that and thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, I just love hearing results like that. Oh my gosh. Anything that has to do with the reconnection of love is just, well, it's the miracle of life.
It is.
And the joy of our life. It truly is.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
And we had good.
Well, I will. Now, what's his name? Gary? What's his name?
His name is Christopher. Christopher.
Okay. Good. So, we've got Gary and Christopher on our list. And blessings be to you all. I see Stormy is on the line. Hi, Stormy.
Yes, this is Stormy's music, a blessing of my music unto all. I have a request for Kathleen Wildwood for her eyes. She's already received several blessings, and I ask for continued blessing on the healing of her eyes.
I remember Kathleen very well.
She just turned 80.
Yes, that's about, I would think that would be about right. Give her my love when you see her.
Yeah, she's still quite vibrant, still rides her bicycle.
That's great. Okay. I hope to be riding a motorcycle when I'm 80.
There you go. Wear your helmet, though.
I better learn how soon, though. Well, Stormy, you sound great, and blessings to you, too. We'll have you on the list. Nancy, you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
I have two issues I would like to discuss with everybody. The first one is an expression of gratitude and a prayer for continued prayer, a request for continued prayer for my sister-in-law, Anne. I asked for a blessing when she was beginning immunotherapy, and the good news is the tumors are shrinking. So
that's great.
Wonderful, and I thank everybody who prayed for her. And also, they are not completely gone, and the doctors are continuing the immunotherapy. So I would ask for a blessing for her that therapy continues to clear the tumors from her being so that she is perfectly free of the cancer in her lungs and body. So
absolutely. Absolutely. What is her name again?
Anne.
Uh-huh.
She is a retired cardiac nurse.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. I'm sure she has many blessings owed back to her.
Yes, I'm sure she does. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was to go back to the sheep, because it seems to me I recall something that is in one of your books. It's probably in Love Without End, about a unique characteristic of sheep, in that they accept strange sheep into the flock without rejecting them. And yes, it is kind of about being unique and being in unity of spirit and accepting of those in spirit, in the flock of Jesus, if you will.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Nancy, because that's the part about sheep that is so often overlooked, is they don't unify in order to restrict the rights and individual nature of their members. The sheep are not into conformity. It's people that are into conformity. And we use the metaphor of sheep to justify our addiction to conformity. Let me tell you, everybody, listen to this and hear me well. The root cause of conformity is fear. Fear.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you wonder why, from the altars of the pulpits throughout the centuries of Christianity, so much fear was being preached, is because it was a surefire way of producing conformity. And that's what they wanted. They wanted conformity, so they preached fear. Now, love produces unity. And there's a very, very big difference.
Yeah.
Sometime, everybody, I encourage you to take into meditation for your thoughtfulness and your just contemplation and mindfulness, the difference between conformity and unity. How you could be in a state of unity and have no conformity whatsoever. How you could be in a state of conformity and have no unity because you were not being respected. There can be no unity without respect. So contemplate the difference between those two things. We don't talk about fear here because we're not interested in fear. Fear will destroy our life. Fear will drive us out of unity, but into conformity. Most of the lost souls that have been driven away from unity actually go out into the world and look for conformity. This is the motivation behind the creation of gangs and gang membership. Or not just, and I don't mean just adolescent, offbeat gangs. I'm talking about the same kind of thing that Susan experienced on the cruise. Gangs of women drinking a little too much and then using their offbeat humor to bond with each other and creating kind of a gang mentality. That's all fear. That's all fear, my friends. When we were in high school, and we would form cliques of popular kids. Well, they were actually afraid of their popularity being challenged. And then you had the kids that didn't quite fit in, so they would form cliques of geeks or jocks or whatever. It all changes with generation, so I don't want to just spew out the words. But you know what I'm talking about. It's all based on fear. That's not unity. So, Nancy, thank you for bringing that up, because when we're in a state of unity, everything belongs.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a blessing to hear you talk about that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hi.
And we have a call from the Freeborns. I don't know whether it's Nancy or Gary or both.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. We hear
you. Oh, good. Okay. Well, we have a special blessing request. As you know, Jaina had a miscarriage last year in November. And now she found out she has some thyroid issues, and that was probably the reason. And so we just would like to ask a blessing on, for Jaina and Jason as they're having challenges with conceiving.
You got it. And that can actually be a very, very serious cause and a frequent cause of miscarriage.
Well, and it seems like it's more common anymore, and I'm not understanding why. It's interesting how younger and
it is.
Everybody, you know, so more women more and
you
more.
Know,
I don't know.
I know, you know, in an older generation, thyroid problems didn't usually come about until after their childbearing years. And so we didn't associate that so much with a cause of difficulty in conceiving or bringing a baby to full term. But now, thyroid problems are occurring earlier and earlier, and that's because of important nutrients that are missing in our diet and pollutants that are prevalent in our diet. And so we're finding these problems and these imbalances occurring in younger and younger people, and something to be very, very mindful about. But still, all the organs of our body can be strengthened from the inside out, despite all the external pressures that come to bear on them. I have a blessing success to offer. You know, I've been asking for blessings for our little blessing cat, Rama, who was diagnosed with feline intestinal peritonitis, and the odds of surviving that are 1%, 1 out of 100, and that's if the cat is relatively young and healthy. Rama is a senior citizen. He's just been retested, and he's now negative.
Wonderful.
I have to admit, it was hard on him going through that. It was hard on him going through the treatments, being an old guy, you know, and so he's a little bit frail, and he's a little bit, tender and frail, and it probably has impacted the ultimate endurance of his life. But what I'm so grateful for is that he wasn't taken away from us in an untimely way that we didn't get to honor and have closure on. He still may not live a full 18 years that or 20 years that a cat can live. He's 14. But if we're together long enough to really enjoy and complete and love and fulfill, and he's here with me right now at my feet, ready to offer the blessing. So he's one of our most devoted blessing givers of all, and I like to think he's here to offer his blessings to the natural kingdom, to our pets and our loved ones in that realm of life. And so, you know, there's a part of us, everybody, that is mortal, and we encounter challenges to our mortality. But and we're all going to pass over. We're all going to go. We all came from a higher level. We're all going to go back to it. And we're all going to leave friends behind. And we will say our farewells. But it's so nice to experience a little bit of grace and love and celebration for the unity and the experiences we shared being together. And I am so grateful for that in all its ways, for myself, through the many things I've been through, for my friends, and for all of us, that we find our way through life together, respecting each other in our uniqueness. And this time, we climb on board a higher train, and we still stay connected. We have one last caller. I'm going to bring them on. It's an area code 413, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's June from Western Mass, and I got in the call a little bit late, but I was really heartened to hear of one caller who was asking for blessings for her ancestors, and for it was lovely. I think of the both clearing, but I was thinking also of how our ancestors are cheering us on, you know, as we live our lives, that they're a part of us, helping us. I love what you said. It was just beautiful, and I wanted to ask a blessing for members of my family that are dealing with various health crises and I want to thank you for the beautiful work that you do and your loving cat, Rama. I do think all of creation is so important to us, and we're just learning more about that, how, you know, so much more about trees and everything. So
it's so easy to forget about the rest of life, isn't it?
Yes, it is, you know, and whatever we are dealing with and how really one life affects another, and I'm affected, and I care about all the people who are calling in and, you know, say some prayers for them, and I know that some pray and some we are connected whether or not it's a conscious, deliberate prayer. Know that there's a connection and an intention that matters. I have one little problem. I don't want to put it on the call, but I don't know what to do. I signed up for the class and I missed the first one because I have a new email and I can't seem to fix the problem. Is there a number I could call so I could be registered for the second class today?
Absolutely. But just email me, GlendaGreen@gmail.com.
Okay. Is that okay? Just email you, but you'll be busy.
Email me personally, and I will take care of it. Okay.
Okay, GlendaGreen@gmail.
Gmail. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank
just
you so
no underscores, no dots, no any. It's just GlendaGreen.
No capitals. Just whatever.
No capitals. Just GlendaGreen@gmail.com.
Okay.
I got in early. Full legal names were still available. So I was,
wow.
I was blessed. I was blessed to get that. So I'm keeping it. I'm keeping it.
Good for you. Fantastic.
All right.
Thank
you. All right.
You.
You're welcome. Thank you. And be on the call. Let me know this afternoon so you can be on the call later today. Okay.
Pardon? Oh, okay.
I said let me know this afternoon so you can be on the call today. All right, everybody, let's get ready.
Thank you.
Let's get ready to receive. You know, receiving is a big deal. It really is a bigger deal than you think or than you know, because just for not just out of fear and defensiveness or self-protection, but just as a general common sense, we build up little cocoons around ourselves so that we can go out in the world and we can be out in the world with our energy being just being ourselves, getting back to this dialogue between unity and uniqueness. You know, it's like, let's just say I'm walking through a mall. Well, not only do I not want to pick up anybody's flu germs, which I don't really think about, but unconsciously, I'm sure I do. And my body builds up defensiveness. So, but not only that, when I look through the windows, I don't want to just be drawn to things that other people are interested in. I'm more interested. I want to be uniquely drawn to what might appeal to me or what I might like. And so, we do build these little golden cocoons around ourselves, and we protect ourselves with them for not just protection from threats or defenses in the bad sense, but in the sense of protecting our uniqueness for lots of reasons, just to be the glory of ourselves in the world. I guess the same reason we dress in ways that show off who we are. Some days I feel like wearing a hat, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like wearing a dress and boots, and some days I don't. It all depends on what I'm feeling like, who I might meet up with, what I want to express. Well, as a soul, we do the same thing. And we build these little golden threads around us. And that actually makes receiving a little bit difficult. You know, this is the single most important reason to meditate and meditate frequently. I have found the biggest difference between prayer and meditation is prayer is when you ask. Meditation is when you listen. But in order to listen, you have to open your ears. In order to open your ears, you have to let your defenses down. You've got to go into this deep inner world where you never had any need for defenses, where you never had any need for even a golden cocoon around yourself. You have no need for clothes. You're just naked with God. You're just a soul there in space, in infinity, surrounded by a blanket in the arms of the Holy Spirit, a baby. That's it. It's just you and God, nothing else. Well, it's kind of hard to be in that place. And if you don't get out of your mind, it's impossible. Your mind won't let you go there. This is why we get our best ideas when we sleep. This is sometimes why we get our best ideas talking to somebody else. This is why we get our best ideas when we get out of ourselves, whether it's going for a walk or going out for a movie or going out for recreation or just being a friend that gets us out of ourselves. We get our best ideas. So you're going to have to get out of your mind. That's the first requirement, because your mind can't receive. It can't. And you say, but Glenda, doesn't your mind pick up all of this perceptual data from the environment? No, actually it doesn't. Your body and your physical senses pick up all of this perceptual information. Then your mind accumulates it and filters it and tells you what to think about it. Okay? So get out of your mind. It doesn't have the answers. It can't receive. Your body can receive. Your heart can receive. Your emotional body receives. Your light body receives. Your spiritual body receives. Every other part of you. It's your mind. Get out of your mind. Let your attention fall into your heart. Right now. Close your eyes. It helps. Drop your head towards your heart. That helps. Just relax, almost like you were going to sleep. Let go. Don't hold on to anything. Just let go. Don't cross your legs, your arms, your feet. Just be there. This is one time it's okay to slouch. Don't work on being in the perfect position, because then you'll have to think about it. Just be there. And be ready to receive. I will say my prayer to Yeshua. And then, in this state of receiving and innocence, you pick up where I leave off and you say your prayer to Yeshua. Any way that feels right to pray. It could be in silence or song. It could be in music. It could be holding hands. It could be aloud. Any way you choose. God knows what you need, but God will wait until you ask. That's why you need to pray. And prayer humbles us, and it opens us to receiving. And that's another good reason to be in prayer as you receive. So this is where we will be right now. And I call the blessing givers to join me, and we will stand. You will receive and sit. Dear Yeshua, we call you forth in your presence, but we know we really don't need to call you forth. You're here. We just call you forth to acknowledge how important you are to us, how much we want you and desire you in our life, how much we want to speak to you and hear from you and experience your presence. We ask you to be with us in all of our needs, whether they are health or emotional or physical, financial or social, to better get along with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our work. You know our needs, but hear them as we pray and say them aloud. We ask that you be with the lonely. We know that you are. but we ask that you touch them, that they may know that you are. We ask that you be with the sick and heal them. We ask also that you touch them, that they know they are being healed, and praise you for it. And today, we thank you so much for being here. We cherish your love. We honor your divinity. And we seek to be more like you every day as we get to know you better. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to continue receiving. So go and rest. Lay down and just be. Just be the love that you are. Just be the soul that you are. Don't think. Don't even continue your prayer. Just receive. In a state of grace and faith, being the child of God that you are, and know that you're loved. I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.